Lord, helping me. I will make a few remarks from the 33rd chapter of Isaiah and the 20th verse. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Look upon Zion. And who is to look upon Zion? Why, those who love her and who count her dearer than all things beside, prefer Jerusalem above their chief joy. We love the place, O Lord, where in thine honour dwells the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. Please look upon Zion, because it has the chief place in their affections. They prefer it above their chief joy. And in looking upon Zion, their hearts go up to the Lord in earnest supplication that he will look upon Zion. O Lord, do look upon Zion. Do have mercy upon her, for the time to favor her, the set time may come. Lord, thou great King of Zion, look upon Zion. My Zion is to be understood first, the whole, complete church of God. That people loved from everlasting, freely loved. That people for whom Christ in the covenant engaged to come and to save. He might purify them unto himself, a peculiar people. Zion, the church of the living God. Dead stones quickened by the Holy Ghost into life, taken from the quarry of fallen human nature, and built by God's almighty power and grace into the Church of God. Great mercy to be found amongst these stones, to be present when there is much crying and shouting in heaven. They shall bring forth the top stone thereof, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Wonderful mercy be found amongst God's living people, these stones of which I speak. Ye also, as lively stones, are built together, spiritual habitation, the temple of God. And on this mighty structure, beneath this sacred building, there is the chief cornerstone which God the Father laid in Zion. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Whoso believeth in him shall not be confounded, never be ashamed, never be disappointed. It shall be well with them forever and ever. There are those present who have been brought by divine grace to build upon Christ the cornerstone of his church. All their hope is in his righteousness, in his perfect obedience, in his sufferings and death, his resurrection and ascension. All their hope is fixed in him. In themselves, very poor, really poor, truly poor, and destitute before God, having nothing of their own to commend them to God, but all their hope is fixed in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone God laid in Zion. Zion may also set forth the Church of Christ upon earth, wherever his people are found, that the last there to be gathered out of all nations, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, they come to this. Zion may set forth a particular little church of God. And it is in the interest of that church particularly we are gathered together this day. to bless and praise God for all his goodness to them over 100 years, and to entreat that he will still bless them and increase them, be a wall of fire round about them, and the glory in the midst. Here are baptized believers. Poor, humble, gracious people, resting upon Christ for salvation, resting in his love, resting in his covenant, and hoping that when they cease to worship a triune God below, they shall forever worship in heaven, where congregations ne'er break up, where Sabbaths have no end. These people having the same hope, the same love, the same favors of God, united together in love, as they are united unto Christ. And these look to the Lord and say, Lord, look upon Zion. Every blessing, every good that we have need of must come alone from thee. The vanities of the Gentiles cannot cause rain. It's rain we want, Lord, the reviving showers of thy grace. The vanities of the Gentiles cannot cause rain. Neither can the heavens give showers. Not even the appointed means of grace give those showers. Art thou not he, O Lord our God? Therefore will we wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. If you're taught of God, if you love Zion, that's how matters will stand with you. You'll say, Lord, it's not by might, nor by power, but by thy Spirit, O Lord of hosts. Thou only can supply our need. Do look upon Zion. Look upon us in all our want and need, that out of thy fullness we may all receive, and grace for grace. If then these blessings can come alone from God, then these people will lift their heart to God for them in secret as well as in public prayer. And God has encouraged them to it, that these things I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do them for them. I grant some of us come far short in these things. times on my knees in my little study, I ask him, Lord, do give me more of the spirit of prayer to incline my heart to pray. By nature, I have a heart of thirst to prayer. Lord, pour out the spirit of grace and of supplication. Help me to plead with thee. And so it will be that those who love Zion will do as the word enjoins. For these things I will be inquired of to do them for. And then again in the Psalms God says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Sometimes I venture that word in secret prayer. Sometimes when I go forth to speak in God's name, I try to open my mouth wide. But he says, for these things I will be inquired of to do them for them. These godly people, though they have much to pray about in regard to themselves and their circumstances, they pray for Zion. God will look in much mercy for his people, and for a few of them gathered together in his name. For the people themselves will look upon Zion, because, as I said, it is to them dearest of all places. Where the Lord is present, where his gospel is proclaimed, where his people meet together and abide in union, and pray that they may abide in union with each other and the Lord, possess in sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford. So they say one to another, look upon Zion. And how do you know that it's these godly people? Why, because they only, and none beside them, shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. Do not see how God speaks of the prospect these people have when their tribulation is over, their sorrows brought to an end, when they come to that place where there are no more fears, and above all, no more sin. Thine eyes, shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. That's why I'm sure the people of God has spoken of in my tears. Look upon Zion. Great mercy to have a desire to be found with God's people, amongst them. Put amongst God's children, given a godly, goodly heritage. Great thing if the heart is searched and tried. O Lord, do I bear the marks of thy sheep? Have I the evidences of a living heart within me? That I am born again? That thou hast brought me to repentance and brought me to a hope in Jesus alone? Great mercy to have these exercises. This fervent plea with God in secret. Lord, do confirm it to me that I have a true place in Zion. I notice how David concludes that 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had, my dear friends, a sweet confidence that God had given him an eternal dwelling in his house, an eternal dwelling there. That it was well with him. And so these people look upon Zion. They look with a little comfort and joy, and the Lord is pleased to bless and to help, to increase them, give success to the preaching of the gospel. And there's a sweet union felt one with another. They find a little comfort and sacred joy. And I'm sure they do when God blesses the word to them and makes this the city of their solemnity. Solemn place, and they have in their hearts the sweet harbinger of heaven, the foretaste of eternal bliss. And God directs his servants to come right into their very path. Cast out the stumbling blocks, the stones, to lift up a standard for them and to show them that it is the Lord's own work in them, and that having begun that good work, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I could never tell you all I feel about the solemn things that happen in Zion. Many most blessed things. Look upon Zion. They look upon those things the Lord is pleased to manifest in Zion. When he manifests his presence, makes his word a blessing, helps his helpless servants. Don't be offended at my remark in calling them helpless, because Christ himself said, without me ye can do nothing. We have this treasure, the treasure of the preaching of the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And here in Zion, God blesses the preaching of the gospel. And these look upon these things. See the joy they've often had, we have often had. had in seeing one and another constrained by the love of Christ to come forward and testify what he has done for their souls. Good sight, good thing to look upon, to say, here my best friends, my kindred dwell, here God, my Saviour, reigns. Find the word, life and power to your souls. To find yourself singing, at least with the heart, and praising God in Zion. And some of you have much to praise Him for. For God has given you, according to His word, a double portion, and that for your sins. That is to say, notwithstanding your sins. The eternal God has given you a double portion. For your sins ye shall have double. For confusion they shall rejoice in His name. They shall rejoice in Christ. A double portion. Does it ever grieve you that you can praise Him so little? You hope to come to that heaven where all is praise. The praises of God ceaselessly going up through all eternity. Don't you wish your hard heart could praise Him more? Never. I do. Praise Him for those blessings of His saving grace, as well as to praise Him for the mercies of His kind providence. Thus we are to enter into God's courts with thanksgiving, to come in at His gates with praise. I want to do this. I want grace to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is Zion. Look upon Zion. Where God's presence is, the place where He has placed His name, where He has chosen to dwell. Oh, may I love that Zion more and more until the Lord takes me to His glory above. And the word goes on, the city of our solemnities, where God's presence is. Even when there are but two or three who love and fear His name, He left this word for their consolation and comfort, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Sacred, solemn place. There's no place like it up on earth. When you come to a right mind, you say, not even my own home, no. There's no place comparable to Zion, to the house of God. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. where the gospel is preached, where some, because of the goodness of that gospel, explain how beautiful from the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. So that however despised they are by some, however hated, there are those that esteem their feet beautiful by reason of the message they bring. That message is Christ crucified. As Paul says, I am determined to know nothing amongst men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is to be the great theme of the preaching. Now, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He was lifted up in crucifixion on Calvary's Mount. God's sent servants lift him up in the gospel and proclaim that precious gospel, the faithfulness of God, the sureness of his promises, and the cleansing power of Christ's atoning blood. Nothing else to be preached. That glorious gospel of the blessed God. Those whom God from everlasting ordained to preach it, desire to preach nothing but that. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These solemn sounds go forth in Zion, the place where the Word of God is ministered. If you say, look upon Zion, then you say, Lord, do make the word of thy grace more effectual, if it be thy holy will. Let power be in the ministry. Let life, let there be unction, let blessing attend it. O Lord, look upon Zion. How glad you will be when in looking upon Zion you see the Lord's blessing on it. How sorrowful you will be when you look upon those things in Zion which cause sadness and grief. Look upon Zion. As there is no place like Zion to these people, that is where they look. Not only find things which comfort and encourage them in Zion, those things also they have to take the Lord in prayer and beg of him to help them and appear for them. Many times I think of that word that he is a wall of fire round about his people, round about Zion, and the glory in the midst. He will defend, he will uphold, he will care for his Zion, and he himself will be the glory the only glory in the midst of Zion. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. All the disquiet gone. No more persecution outwardly. No more terrible conflict inwardly. Certainly no more schism. No more differences. What a love Paul had particularly to that church of Philippi, treating them to cleave together in the bonds of the love of Christ. There were two women there who didn't just see eye to eye. In his great concern for the good of the church, he said, I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of one mind in the Lord. By and by, thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. With yours, thine eyes, oh, how very searching. Sometimes look at that word in the Ecclesiastes, and so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in that city where they'd so done. This also is vanity. A solemn thing. Be found constantly attending the house of God, to know nothing of the sweet power of the gospel, and to give a portion to seven and also to eight, and maybe one in God's house this morning, that knows nothing of Christ, nothing of his precious gospel. What a solemn thing to live and to die in that state. How different the burials that lay before the people in these parts just now. Godly, faithful ministers who have long preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their hearts go up to God for their loved ones, and also the causes over which they were pastor, or for their bereaved. What a mercy to have that hope spoken of in my text. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. You shall come into those realms of endless and uninterrupted peace. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. It's a good hope. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, nor any of the cords thereof be broken. It belongs. The little history of this place published today, being circulated, reminds us that over the 100 years and more, stakes have been removed, cords broken. But thou remainest, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. They were brought to love the Lord, brought to true repentance, brought to a hope in God's mercy. The gathered numbers of them in this house of prayer, and the gone, some of them gone long since, into the presence, the immediate presence of the Lord. May it please God, strengthen and increase His people here for the increase of God. And I would drop this word if you were to ask for the old paths. Where is the good way to walk with you? No innovations, no seeking to conform with the times, with the wishes of carnal minds, but asking for the old paths, the good way, and walking therein. But ever looking upon Zion, and entreating the Lord to look upon Zion, and praying for His blessing, till that time come when your eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, and no more stakes nor cords shall ever be loosened or removed, for the one redeemed people of God, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, shall worship, love and adore Him forever and ever in glory. Shall see Him whom absent they loved, whom not having seen they adored. I must leave the world. May God add His blessing to you.
The tune 625. The 372nd page. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, on thee, for his own abode, on the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wars surrounding, thou mayst smile at all thy foes.